Hi everyone, welcome to Clan Chat, the official podcast of Glasgow Clan Ice Hockey Club. I'm Craig Anderson and we're back after an unexpected week off last week, but it's all systems go as we get ready for another tough couple of games when Cardiff Devils come to Glasgow on Challenge Cup duty, quickly followed by Coventry Blaze who return for a third time this season. On this week's edition, we chat to Icetime TV commentator Gareth Hewish about the Devils and what the Clan can expect from Andrew Lord's side. Head coach Pete Russell joins us to preview the two games coming up and a quick reflection on that disappointment against Guildford Flames on Saturday. Plus, former player Tristan Harper takes a trip down memory lane as he looks back on his 3 years at the Clan. And yes, I asked him about his kilted yoga. And it's all here once again in the latest edition of Clan Chat.
Hey Clan fans, I'm Michael Gutwald and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Before we get to the bones of the week ahead, we'll recap what you may have missed since we last spoke to you, and we had a home doubleheader when the Clan faced Sheffield Steelers and Milton Keynes Lightning in another mixed weekend a couple of weeks ago. After holding a 4-goal lead, Clan went down 5-4 to the Steelers on the Friday night in overtime, but recovered to beat MK Lightning 6-3 on Saturday to end that weekend on a high. It ended a grueling run of 5 games in 8 days, a run that saw the Clan take 7 points from a possible 10. It was also good news for Matt Becker, who scored 4 goals and assisted with 3, earning him the Player of the Week awards from the Elite League and the British Ice Hockey website. Move forward to Saturday just past and it was one to forget as Guildford Flames made the journey from Surrey and left with a 3-0 win. Evan Ritt, Callie Ackred and Ian Waters with an empty net goal made it a second straight shutout win for the Flames over the Clan, with former Clan goalie Travis Fullerton deservedly getting a lot of praise for his display between the pipes, earning him man of the match.
Hey, I'm Joel Rumpel and you're listening to Clan Chat.
The club return to action in the Challenge Cup on Wednesday when Cardiff Devils come to Glasgow for the quarter-final first leg. Face off at 7:30pm, get your tickets now. The Clan were their choice in the pick your opponent system to decide the ties as the tournament turns into a knockout, with Pete Russell taking his men to South Wales for the return leg on Friday the 14th of December. The tag of the favourites is very much on the side of Andrew Lord's men, considering they've been in the last 4 finals of this competition, winning 2 of them, and their recent record over the Clan standing at wins in their last 11 meetings. Glasgow's last win against them coming almost 3 years ago now. To get the view from Cardiff, I spoke to Icetime TV commentator Gareth Hewish to tell us more, and he started by telling me how they're shaping up.
I think we shape up fairly well. I guess coming off the back of a loss on Sunday is not ideal. You never want to go into a big game coming after a loss, but 5 points out of 6 in a tough week when you consider it's an away game in Manchester. It's a tough game against Fife, who had beaten us in the previous game between the two sides. So, like I say, not ideal coming off a loss, but in terms of form, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Only dropped 1 point in the last 5 games. And I think the Challenge Cup is such a special competition for the Devils and Cardiff fans that I actually think it's probably come at a good time for us to take us away from this league at the moment, where I guess some of our fans are a little bit upset, and concentrate on a competition that, as I said, is very special and we have a lot of history with.
We'll talk more about the competition in a minute. I'm glad you touched on the fan stuff. As you said, 5 points out of 6 over the weekend, and going by some of the comments I've seen, you'd think the Devils had lost all 3 games. What's going on?
I think that the expectation and standards have gone up as a club, mixed in with, I think, a portion of the fan base, which is fairly new to Cardiff hockey, who maybe have only experienced the high times. Mm. I think there's some valid criticisms coming up in terms of, you know, maybe the game management that we had last year hasn't quite got there yet. We're not closing games out in much the same way that we did. But like I say, in saying that, 1 point out of the last 5 games that we dropped is hardly an issue. You know, I just think we've set such high standards. The last league campaign, when we won the league, we won it with a lot of points advantage by the end of it. And it looked pretty dominant. And we started the year in imperious form. We were putting 6, 7, even 9 goals past teams. And I think a lot of people maybe expected that to last right the way through the season. But it's such a high standard of league this year. It's gone up again. And teams are improving as well. Look at Sheffield. They had a terrible start to the year. But Barrasso's come in and steadied that ship. And that's very similar to what happened against Milton Keynes. You know, Wallace and Lannan have gone in and they've galvanised that group of players. And they found some of that hidden potential that was there and bubbled into the top. So I kind of get it. I think that, like I say, it's all about standards. So when you've got those standards that the Devils have set over the last couple of seasons, the fan base expectation is raised a little bit. But I would probably advocate calm and trust in Andrew Lord. You know, he's a serial winner, and I'm sure that will continue.
Now, as I said, the Challenge Cup's one that's very important to Cardiff. It was the one that got away last year, when you consider you won the league and the playoffs last year as well. You've been in the final the last 4 years. What would it mean to reach a fifth straight final and maybe get a third victory along the way?
Oh, it'd be fantastic. The Challenge Cup is very special to Cardiff fans for a number of reasons. Two main ones are, it was the last trophy that we won in the old Wales National Ice Rink after a long, long time of having not won anything. And it was the first trophy that we won under Todd Kellman and Steve King and the consortium's stewardship. And it was a trophy, again, we weren't expected to win. We built the team within 6 weeks. We were just expected to kind of have fun, build a foundation, and we managed to squeak that trophy, Andrew Lord getting one in his rookie year as coach. So I think more so than many other teams, the Challenge Cup means that little bit extra to the Devils fans and to Cardiff. So I'm really excited for it to be in the knockout phase now, and I'm really looking forward to Wednesday.
As I say, you come to Glasgow. Cardiff have won in each of the last 11 meetings between the two teams. The last visit to Glasgow was a 1-0 win. It was for Cardiff very much an equal game, decided by a scrappy goal, but by Stephen Dixon. How tough an opponent can the Clan be for Andrew Lord this week, and how much preparation will he have put into this game?
Well, he puts a lot of preparation into every game. I'm sure there's been nothing but Clan video going on in Ice Arena Wales in the last 48 hours or so. I think it's a tough proposition. You don't want to be making that long trip midweek, coming off a tough three-game week last week. I certainly think that that's a big advantage for the Clan on Wednesday. The games are very tight in Glasgow, very tight. And I'm surprised at that stat you threw there, actually, that it's been 11 meetings, because it doesn't really feel like that. Whenever Glasgow and the Devils are on a fixture list, it's a game I always kind of look at with a bit of, maybe not, trepidation and a bit of fear. It's always a tough proposition. So I certainly think it'll be a bit cagey. It's the first of what will be six periods. But like I say, games in Glasgow always tight, not expecting anything different this Wednesday.
What would be a successful result for Cardiff on Wednesday when you consider you've got the second leg coming up in a couple of weeks' time?
Going back to those standards, nothing less than a win. That's right. Lay my hat on. I think you've always got to take a win in any game that you play. Of course, if there's a narrow defeat, you look for the positives from it. But yeah, coming back into your own rink with an advantage, even if that's one goal, that's going to put you in good stead to have a platform to qualify.
I'm Zach Fitzgerald, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Ice Time TV commentator Gareth Hewish talking to me about the Challenge Cup tie between Glasgow and Cardiff on Wednesday. Face off 7:30 PM. Tickets are available via Ticketmaster and the Clan website, clanihc.com. As we record this, we're bang in the middle of the aftermath of Saturday's game and Wednesday's clash with Cardiff, and one man ideally placed to give us the inside track on how the team is looking is none other than head coach Pete Russell. We looked ahead to Wednesday and Friday's game with Coventry, but first we had a chat about Saturday's game with Guildford, and I asked Pete, having watched the game back, if he could take any positives from the 3-0 loss to the Flames.
As I said at the time, I don't think there was all negatives. I think the big thing is, when I talk about compete levels, is it's not just competing the whole game, it's competing to the net. When you tie a team in shots 29-29 and you're not getting enough rewards, you've got to make it hard for a goal like Travis Fulton when he's playing well. You've got to get inside and take his eyes away. You've got to make second and third efforts. And I didn't think we really done that enough. I thought we had some quality chances. And probably, I didn't mention it at the time, but probably the first half of the game when I switched Rasmus and Vaclav was probably a little bit of a gamble, but it happened in training during the week, and it was going good, and we thought we'd try it, and it didn't work, and we went back with that. So I probably have to take a little bit of a slap in the back of the hand for that. But listen, Guildford are a good team. We've had two close games against them. The problem is Travis Fulton's got one number just now, so we have to get to him at some point. But I think I thought there was good things, and I thought there was bad things. I thought we skated with them, that like I said at the time, and I thought we had some quality chances, and I actually think we defended very well against them.
Now, the guys are back in training, obviously. There's no time to feel sorry for yourselves. You've got the Challenge Cup quarter-final first leg against Cardiff on Wednesday. That's at home. The guys have been back in training. You were telling me that you haven't been at training. You've been a bit under the weather, but can you get an idea of how the mood is among the guys at the moment?
Yeah, I think the guys are fine. They're just, you know, they're frustrated. I think we have an identity where we play, and, you know, we try to be decent in the D zone and tight, which we've got better at. We try to be quick getting up the ice, and we try to get deep or in behind deep and work with full check to get to the net and let our skill work. And, you know, and we just need everybody really getting into that more consistently, and I know they will. And I think we're looking forward to the games. I think the more games, the merrier, to be honest with you. I think guys like playing games.
As I say, Cardiff come here on Wednesday. They lost to Milton Keynes somewhat unexpectedly, some might say, on Sunday. An overtime defeat to your old team, Milton Keynes Lightning. But they picked up 5 points out of six last week, and there's been a fair bit of criticism. Can you believe some of that that's been flying around?
I can't believe a lot of the criticism, to be honest with you, Craig. I dropped it in a few weeks ago about how the league's changed. There's no easy nights, and that's not, you know, this league's came a long way in the last 4 years. Milton Keynes have a hot goalie, and Patrick Keelan, everybody knows that. He's one of the best goalies in the league, and when he's making saves and they hang around, they're dangerous when they get their chances. We found that out down there, and we found it out here in the third period as well that night. I don't think it's any surprise. I think the league's so hard right now. The teams are all good, they're all deep, and in any given night, anyone can get a result, and I'm sure Andrew Lord's frustrated, but, you know, I'm sure he knows what he has to do. He's a great coach, and, you know, they're the champions. But, again, there's no easy nights. It's tough. Every night's really, really tough.
You played them last month at home. It was only a 1-0 game. Stephen Dixon was the man that got the goal that made the difference. How much is the preparation for this game, are you referring to the previous game, in terms of how you set the team up, maybe look for things that you maybe missed last time?
I think we play the same way a lot. We sometimes change our full check a little bit, how we come into the zone. And, you know, most teams play with identity they have. And when you're playing to your identity and you respect the other team and you talk more about what they're doing, how you can just make sure you pick little things up. I mean, we know what we have to do against Cardiff. You know, they're a deep team. I don't buy into they're having a tough time. I just think the league's that good. I think in any night, if you're not there and you're not competing to every little area, then you can get in trouble. You know, you can get beaten. And I think we just have to come and compete. We have to be ready. We have to make sure we're defensively good. You know, they're strong down low. They've got a good decor. And we have to take our chances. The big thing is when we get chances, we have to take them.
Now, Zach Fitzgerald comes back to the team after his 3-game suspension. How pleased are you going to have his experience to fall back on when he's back?
Yeah, Fitzy's good in the room. He was brought here for his personality and who he is, and he's a solid hockey player, and it'll be great to have him back. You know, the guys have done well back there. I think, if I've singled anyone out lately, I think Zach Sullivan's done really well the last couple of weeks. He was having a little bit of a tough time, and he's got his head down, and he's played really, really well, and I'm really happy for Zach. He's a great kid. And now Fitzy comes back, and we've got six again. So I think it gives us a bit more depth back there. It takes a few minutes off other people, and, we've got our full block. We just need everybody going and everybody buying in and everybody competing and bringing all the energy and being disciplined. And, you know, I think that was a big thing at the weekend. We were very, very, very disciplined against Guildford because we knew about the power play. And maybe that took a little bit of edge out as a little bit, I think, as well.
Now, after that, it's Coventry come to town on Friday night. You've played them 4 times, 2 wins and 2 losses against them. It's just going to be another tight game, isn't it? Danny Stewart's side always bring a really, really tight team to Glasgow.
Yeah, if they play, they're pretty counter. They've got some good speed, they've got some fast players. They're organised, there have been some good games. We match up pretty well against each other. I just think I keep repeating myself. I just think every night's tough, and I know it sounds like I'm get on and on about it, but every game's tough and we have to be ready. And, you know, we want to be ready. We're on that 500 or 500 or 50%, however you want to put it. And it's a great building block, but we want to try and find a little bit more to get a little run going to pull away if we can. That's got to be our goal.
And just back to Wednesday, obviously we're in the build-up to Christmas. People are looking at money and what they can spend and what they can't spend. But how much do you need the crowd on Wednesday, especially against a team like Cardiff?
You know what? I think we need the crowd every night. And I know sometimes we don't give them what they want, but they're such a huge part of this club and they have been over the years. And we need them to try and find that extra bit. We need their backing and we need them to be noisy and fill the place. Because the one thing about this team is, on big nights they performed. They like a crowd, they like an atmosphere. And if I could lean out to the crowd and say, make it noisy, stick with us, help us get better, help us get stronger, then yeah, I would ask that 100%. I think it's a great fan base. And I just think the passion of, you know, Scotland and this club, how much they love it to get back to where they want to be, it's going to take a combined effort. And we're doing all we can, and we know that we need them with us as well, as always.
I'm Matt Hayward, you're listening to Clan Chat.
Clan coach Pete Russell there with a call to arms to the Purple Army ahead of Wednesday's game with Cardiff Devils in the Challenge Cup. As we like to do, we delve into the past and talk to former players who have donned the purple and get their experiences of being part of the club from their unique perspective. One such player who did that was Scottish forward Tristan Harper, who iced for the former Brayhead Clan between 2013 and 2016, part of the team that reached the playoff finals, finished second in the Elite League and enjoyed the Champions Hockey League adventure to Vekwa and Ingolstadt. Since leaving 2 years ago, he retired from the sport and has a few things on the go, which he explained to us in the interview. And yes, I asked him about that kilted yoga video that went viral, gaining hundreds of thousands of views online. In his time at the club, Tristan played 182 times, scored 14 goals and made 18 assists, so it was good to hear his thoughts about his time here. After leaving Dundee Stars in the summer of 2013, I wanted to know how the move to Brayhead Clan came about.
To be honest with you, I had my eyes set up on Brayhead Clan for quite a while, and I saw that they were a kind of developing organisation and they wanted to be well established in Scotland, so I was hoping that Brayhead Clan would get in contact with me, and they ended up getting in contact with me and asked to be interested. So it was an easy decision to make, and it was, like you said, it was a great 3 years at Brayhead Clan, and I really enjoyed my time with it. So that's where they all came about. I just got contacted, and I was like, yes, definitely, I'd be happy to play for your organisation.
And of course, that first year in particular, that was a really good team, all the way to the playoff finals weekend. Talk about one or two of the guys that you played with that year.
So Salters, Lee Salters, great guy, quite a presence on the ice. And Arson, my roommate, and Trimmer, great guys. There's so many guys in that team that I really like and have a lot of respect for. And I think it definitely, you could tell from watching us that first year that we all gelled very well on the ice and off the ice. So yeah, there's many good players. I'm not really going to single any guys out particularly because they're just all really great guys.
How did you enjoy working with Ryan Finnerty over those 3 years? I got on okay with Ryan over the piece, but I got the feeling there was times he was quite a hard taskmaster. Would that be right?
Yeah, I think just kind of over the years, I think that the first and second year were pretty good. And in the third year, I don't know, we just started clashing in little ways here and there. And then, you know, and obviously I wasn't getting played and whatnot. And it was kind of destroying my mentality towards the game and everything. But, you know, it's one of those things, the sports industry and the hockey world, it can be quite gruesome. But at the end of the day, you know, and I had a great 3 years there. And even though we might clash a little bit throughout the end of my career, it's not going to put a stop. And I'm going to thank the guy for obviously letting me be a part of the organization and giving me the strength to kind of follow through my career and play as long as I could. So yeah, I'm a big thanks to him. Even though we were clashing at times, no hard feelings. And like I say, onwards and upwards always.
Now, I want to ask what your highlight was. And I want to, there could be something completely different, you tell me. But between finishing second in the league, reaching the playoff weekend and playing in the Champions Hockey League, which of those three would you regard as more of a highlight?
I mean, definitely the year when we finished second, because we were so close to finishing first, and it was. And I think everyone was just feeling that, like the pride in the club and the whole team were like, "Oh, we can do this!" Like we genuinely believed that we were so close there, and obviously it just didn't go our way in the end. Like so close. So I would have to say my first year, us finishing second, was a highlight of my full time at the Brayhead Clan. But don't get me wrong, like the CHL was great and playoff final weekend. These are all amazing experiences, and these are like what dreams. guys have when they kind of join EIHL. So, yeah, but for me it was the finishing second and just missing out first place.
What about that trip to Germany and Sweden in the CHL? I've got my memories of it, of course, as do the fans. But as a player, going to places like the Vida Arena and the Saturn Arena in Germany, what was that like for you playing there?
Super exciting, because you get to coming for, like, especially guys obviously haven't played in those leagues before, and then coming to a rink or in a different country where hockey is like their main sport, it's great to see, get insight from their perspective, and just really pure skills up against these other players that have played against some of the best players in the world, and they're getting paid like crazy amounts of money, and they're doing really good things in the hockey community in these parts of their country. So it's nice to just go over there and experience that, and then even on like after the games and being able to talk to the fans and socialize with them and really see them enjoying themselves, it brings the whole kind of club together. And for me, experiences like that and opportunities really do make a team thrive in a club and an organization. So yeah, there's lots of good things to say about traveling to Germany and Sweden and all the good things we got to try and then see these good players put their skills to work. So yeah, it was all good, really good experience.
Now, that was in your third season at the club. By the end of the season, you decided to call it a day. What was your reasons behind it? Or did you actually decide to retire then? Or were you looking for opportunities that perhaps never came? What happened at the end of that season?
I mean, just like, obviously, like, towards the end of my career, I wasn't at the break line. I wasn't really getting much ice time. And I kind of had a feeling in the back of my mind that it was coming to the end of my days. And with hockey, as you know, you're either making lots of money and you're playing the NHL and you've kind of got your life set up, or you maybe go on a kind of fall back and something. And for me, I was really falling in love with the outdoors and really wanted to learn about the culture and the Scottish community and work with like-minded individuals throughout my homeland and throughout the world also. So I just kind of fell into the whole outdoor scene of like mountaineering, getting guide work done, and just really understanding the dynamics of like helping Scotland thrive. So I'm really looking at like the Grey Clan as a stepping stone, because obviously them being a big impact in the Scottish community and the sports world, I used them as a stepping stone just to kind of take all my conditioning, all the hard work on the ice into the mountains. And for me, it's been a great transition, and it's good to come back and see the team and meet familiar faces and see the organization and everything. So yeah, it was just one of those things I kind of felt was happening gradually, naturally. So just went with it, and so far I'm pretty happy with where I am.
When you were playing with the Clan, you were doing some male modelling as well. Your face appeared in various magazines and things like that. Now, ice hockey's a bit of a rough and tumble sport. There are times you're going to get hit in the face. How difficult was it to keep that face preserved through an ice hockey career?
That's a funny one. It's okay. I've had this question before. People ask me, and they're like, you know, worried about your face. So it's one of those things, you go into the corner and have a little battle with a guy trying to get the puck and then go to the net, and then you're not really thinking about that at the time, but you know, it's one of those things that definitely did cross my mind. But the modeling thing isn't my whole, it's not my whole life, and that's not my whole world. If I get a bruise or a cut or miss it or get my tooth knocked out, wherever it may be, it's just going to only add character to who I am as a person and more story behind me, and you know, and I wasn't worried about any of those things. You know, and modeling is so for me. I get a good job and I appear in a magazine here and there, but it's not something I'm dependent on. At the time, hockey was my number one focus, and yeah, it's a funny one, because I find that a really funny question when people ask me that. So yeah, I wasn't too worried about it.
Next question, two words: Kilted Yoga. Tell us how that all came about.
Oh, Kilted Yoga. Okay, so I was thinking, like, I thought to myself, okay, we're Scotsmen and we wear kilt, and it's not really been like, it's not really done anything like unique about wearing kilts in the Highlands and stuff like this too. So me being into yoga, meditation, and being into the outdoors, and then obviously Mr. Scotland kind of falls in there too, and loving wearing a kilt, I was getting to my yoga classes in Dundee with the guy that I did the other kilt yoga with, and we just kind of got chatting back and forth, and I was like, I want to do this outdoors, and he's like, we should do it with the yoga, we can maybe make a cool video. And then like 5 hours filming in the Hermitage, just in Perthshire there, and then 2 weeks later, our video got released, and then we weren't really expecting it to go as crazy as it did. And then all of a sudden, the views were getting calls and getting texts and like all these shares on Facebook, and it's just like, what is going on right now? And obviously, it's just like a crazy thing, and I think it is a cool thing, because it kind of does show how really influential the Scottish culture is throughout the world. And even though it might have been a little bit cheesy and it's got some cool things in it, it's one of those things you can laugh about it and you can take whatever you want from it. So yeah, it was just an idea that kind of went really well, and it's opened some doors for me and into the whole Scottish world and international world. So yeah, it's a, it's a funny thing to do. Killing yoga in the Highlands, you know, it's just funny.
Of course, I mean, to see something go so viral, as you say, that you've seen the numbers stack up and stack up as they go as well. But you must carry a sense of pride that you did something that, did prove to be so popular.
Yeah, definitely. Like being a Scotsman, I definitely take a lot of pride in who I am in the Scottish culture and really want to embrace the community and learn about it as much as I can. So I think doing something like that, definitely take pride from it, as it's put Scotland that much more on the map, and we're getting so much publicity throughout the world, and there's so much magic in Scotland, you know, and there's so much untouched beauty. So I think to be able to kind of put myself into the Kilt Yoga and then have that go viral, and then people will be like, wow, there's a lot of actually cool things happening in Scotland, you know, and like I said, it's cheesy, but, you know, it does kind of open some people's eyes and say, well, this is cool, I like this. So yeah, I definitely do take some pride with it.
Now, you still retain an interest in ice hockey, of course. I know you've been at a couple of games this year at the Clan under Pete Russell. What do you make of the team and what you've seen so far?
So they seem pretty quick. I think, obviously, they've not had the... They're pretty even with their games, the wins and losses right now, I was looking at. And seeing the guys, I think it's one of those things where, like, they're pretty even and they want to do better. And all the guys seem pretty quick and they're gelling on the ice from what I've seen. But I think it is one of the things that they've, I think, towards and maybe... When it gets closer to Christmas and maybe at the end of Christmas, you'll start seeing the guys maybe gel a little bit more. As I hope so, because it'd be nice to get you guys, well, Clan at the top of the tables. And so, yeah, no, I've seen good things from then, and it is good to see familiar faces like Fitzy and Pitt in the lineup and stuff too, because these guys bring a lot to the team because they've got that, obviously, experience in the league and with the organization before. So, yeah, nothing negative to say about them. It's just one of those things. I think it might be a little bit of a late start when they start really making an impact in the league.
Do you miss it? Do you miss playing? Do you miss the day-to-day stuff? You interacting with the guys and the experience of game night and all that comes with that?
Yeah, I definitely do miss it. I miss like the buzz and like getting a win and like celebrating with the guys and having beers and then socializing with the fans and then like getting our ass kicked in practice and stuff like that too. No, I do miss it definitely. But for me, where I am in my life, I'm definitely on a good path. And for me to be able to eventually, in the near future, dip back into it and maybe help the younger generation out and then maybe teach them, maybe help them kind of incorporate like the yoga, the mindfulness into the whole sport and really understand different dynamics, how they can really be their best player on and off the ice. So, yeah, I do miss aspects of it. And for me, it's a big part of my life and I will always take that with me wherever I go in the future. So, yeah. It's something that I will definitely revisit in the near future.
Now, we've seen a few tweets and social media posts from you. You're getting rid of some of your equipment from your playing days as well. How's that going? Did you manage to offload a lot of it?
Yeah, I managed to get a few people that came and picked up some gear, which was really nice to have a little chat with them and give them some of the gear that they could use and they could rep and they could be the only one in the stands. So there's like a one-of-one tracksuit that the players used to wear. So I think that's pretty cool. But I've got some more sticks, some gloves, and little bits and bobs and tracksuits, some Clan merch that I will be giving away soon. So I'm going to probably fire out a tweet when it's more convenient for people who are not at work. And if there's any charities that people need some sticks or something from me, then I'm happy to do that. So yeah, just give me a tweet directly and I'm happy to accommodate to your charity needs.
Hey Clan fans, I'm Michael Gutwald and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Good to hear from Tristan Harper, and we'll have another ex-player lined up for you very soon here on Clan Chat. Just want to tell you about a new feature we're starting here on the show, and it involves you, so pay attention. We know the Purple Army come from a varied range of places, from all over the west of Scotland, from Easterhouse to East Kilbride, from Ayr to Ardrossan, from Glasgow to Greenock. So we want to hear all about you. We're launching our new Fan of the Week segment, and we want you to tell us about yourself and how you fell in love with the Clan. Simply, we just need you to send a 30-second audio telling us your name, your age if you wish to give it, where you're from, tell us about your first game, those first game memories, your favourite all-time Clan player, and what you would like to see the Clan achieve this year, and a favourite goal, if you can think of one. As I say, it should take you no more than 30 seconds, so send them to me at craig.anderson@clanihc.com. Do that, and you could be our Fan of the Week here on Clan Chat. To give you an idea of what we want, I enlisted the help of Jennifer, our producer Stuart's wife, and here's what she told us about her love of the Clan.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm from Bishopton. The first time I went to a Clan match was in September 2015, and it was against the Fife Flyers, and we won. The thing I can remember from that match is a fight, and it was Tristan Harper, and I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this sport is amazing, what's going on here? And we've been hooked ever since. My all-time favourite player is probably Brendan Brooks, and what I want from the Clan this year is hopefully to get to the playoffs, because it'd be quite nice to go down and go to our first playoffs this year.
It's Matt Sash, you're listening to Clan Chat.
That was Jennifer Priest, our guinea pig for Fan of the Week, and I hope to hear from you in the Purple Army very soon. As I say, send your audios to me, Craig Anderson, at craig.anderson@clanihc.com, and let's find out who's in the Purple Army. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I also want to extend a huge thanks to Jen for helping us out on that one. A final reminder to get your tickets for the games against Cardiff Devils and Coventry Blaze this week by heading over to the website, clanihc.com, or Ticketmaster. Both games are a 7:30pm face-off. Catch all the latest news around the club on the website, clanihc.com, like the official Facebook page, or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Audioboom, and the newest episode will download automatically to your device. That's it. Thanks for listening. On behalf of producer Stuart Priest and myself, Craig Anderson, many thanks for listening. I'll be back next week for more from around the Glasgow Clan. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.